Okay, good afternoon, everybody. For me, the honor of doing the post-lunch session. I had prepared some demonstrations on my laptop. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a HDMI connector. It's a really old laptop. So I'll be doing only the presentation. And afterwards, if you're interested, you can come over and I can show you some examples of what I'm about to talk about. My session will be about Exchange 2016 and Office Online Server. Are there people in the room who are currently using WAC or something similar, Office Web Apps? One hand. Okay. First, a short introduction. My name is Michel de Roy. I'm from the Netherlands. I'm a consultant at a company called Conclusion Fit. I'm an Office Server and Services MVP, formerly Exchange MVP. My email handle, I blog on Exchange related topics at a21.com, which is made up of a21, which is the RFC of MVP. And I Twitter on the handle mdroid. In the past, I also wrote some things and also a book with that gentleman over there on Exchange 2020, SP1, and PowerShell. What I'm going to talk about is OOSE. What is OOSE? What can we do with it? A little bit about architecture. How can you deploy OOSE in your infrastructure and what can you do with it? Configuring OOSE. And a short demonstration, which will not happen, can only happen there. Excuse me?
Where can you get them?
That's on the next slide. on the bottom of this slide, actually. OOSE stands for Office Online Server. It is a browser-based Office suite. Allowing you to use your web browser for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote functionality. It's rich document viewing and editing. It allows you to view Word documents, but also limited editing of Word documents, Excel documents. It's not new. It's a successor to another product, which is Office Web App, and before that was it was known as Office Web Companion, and before it was WAC. Availability, until a few weeks ago, it was available as a technical preview, and for some reason it got pulled. They said that it would go generally available amongst the same time as SharePoint 2016. Would be released. SharePoint 2016 is now available, but unfortunately, they also decided to make OOSE only available on volume licensing program. It means you cannot download it from MSDN. Not everybody is too happy with that. There's a discussion going on, but until then, you can only get it on volume licensing. One other thing is that it is GA, but also the GA version is not available on the Volume Licensing Center as well. So there's something going on there. So for those who never have seen it or saw the functionality, as it is also available in Office 365, this is a small part of Office on Outlook on the web, where you can have a document attachment or Excel attachment. And normally you would only have the option to download it. And to do something with the document, you would need the related Office product on your system. With OOSE installed and connected to your Exchange server, you have more options. Because it allows you to view, and when you have opened it in view mode, you can also edit the document. Not full functionality of the the product itself. For example, Excel has a lot more graph options and stuff, but you can make basic edits and allowing you to collaborate on documents without having to save that document somewhere on the share or locally. Topology. You can have one OS server, you can have multiple OS server for high availability or other concerns. For example, if you have multiple geographically dispersed sites, you can have multiple endpoints to which to connect to. The definition for multiple OS servers is the farm. And also, when you have a single OS server, you still need to define a farm, because the farm is the container in which you define the settings of the farm and the applications, with what you can do with it. Can you only view documents, or can you also edit, make edits? You could put a load balancer in front of the OS server, and the load balancer needs to have client affinity, because it's session bound. If you're editing a document on one OS server, the other one does not know what you're doing. So if you meanwhile switch with your client to that other OS server, your session will be need to be restarted. As I said, single or multiple locations. In this diagram, you can see that you can make connect to OS in the EMEA region or in the US region. And there's a oscontoso.com. That's the discovery endpoint. The discovery endpoint functions more or less like auto-discover in Outlook connectivity. And the discovery endpoint tells your web client, or actually Exchange or SharePoint, where it needs to connect to for a certain functionality. We'll see more on that a bit later. You can set the discovery endpoint at the organization level, in Exchange, or at the server level, depending on whether you want to have a general setting covering all your Exchange servers, or make exceptions to the rule by specifying it at a server level. Note that the organization level will, when you define both, it will be used as a fallback option. So if your Exchange server where you're working on has a certain discovery endpoint and that is not available, your Exchange server will resort to the organization level setting. How it works, you open up, it says still OWA. I'm still having to get used to the Outlook on the Web acronym. Outlook, you click view in that screenshot I showed a little bit earlier, and then Exchange, because you're working in an OWA session, retrieves the discovery information which is configured from the OWA server, and the OWA server returns that discovery information, URLs, settings for applications. Then your Exchange OS session, it will create an iframe. And in the iframe, in your browser, you can view or possibly edit that document. That's a unique URL. And in that URL is embedded your the document you're editing, authentication token. It looks a bit like this. This example, it connects to the OS server meet.myexchangelabs.com, and we can derivate from the URL that you're doing something with words, and there's a document in there somewhere, and it's readable, and that's your token. When you're done, Exchange transfers that content to OSP, and because Exchange has the attachment, that attachment is given to the OSP server, and on the OSP server, the document is rendered, and there you will have your connection to it, your browser, and there you will make your edits. So there's no locally stored file. If you want to deploy OSP, it's basically really simple. You need to have some requirements, more on that in the next slide. You need to install OSP with the language packs you require. You need to configure the namespace. You need to create and configure the OSP farm. And you need to tell Exchange, and if you're using SharePoint, you can also tell SharePoint where it needs to look for OSP for connect to for OSP functionality. Dimensioning, the sizing of the OSP servers is really, I wouldn't say low end, but it's doable, and you can also virtualize it. Per 10,000 concurrent viewing sessions, you need one server with 8 gigs and 8 cores. And storage is around 60 gig, but it's static. There is some cached information locally of the document you're editing on. But it's really limited, and you can also tweak it if you want to. Do not collocate the OSP with other roles. Don't put it on your domain controller or on your Exchange server. It will break things. For network connectivity, you only need port 80 and 443 with HTTP and HTTPS. And in the farm, you also need to have open port 809 that's used for OSP servers talking to each other, because they're all part of a farm, and that information is stored somewhere on IIS, and that information is published on port 809. As said before, you can virtualize it, and also, if required, you can use SSL offloading. So you want to deploy it, you can only deploy it starting with Exchange 2012 R2. I don't know about Windows Server 2016, but this is supported. You need to add a load of Windows features, which are stated here, and I will not read them out to you. If not installed yet, you need to install the Visual C++ library, .NET Framework 4.5.2, not 4.6.1 or higher. That's not supported, as far as I know, at the moment, and OSP, if you can get it somewhere in the future. Installation of the product is really straightforward. You only need to specify a path. That's it. No other options or things. Then the certificate and the namespace. What needs to be on the certificate is all the endpoints you are going to use. So for all your OSP servers, all the URLs you're going to publish on, and also the discovery endpoint needs to be on your certificate. That can be a SAN certificate or wildcard if you really, really, really must. The farm has external and internal URLs. That works more or less the same as with Exchange, where we also have external and internal URLs. The DNS records you create need to be available for the clients as well as Exchange. And of course, it can point to a load balancer. Managing OSP, like many products nowadays, it doesn't come with a GUI. There's a PowerShell module installed after you with the product. You need to use that to configure OSP, the farm, the discovery endpoints will be configured on Exchange, of course. And if you could, as you can see here, there's a lot you can do. That's the next slide. Configuring a farm is also really basic. New offers web farm, you specify an external and an internal URL you want to use. Then you need to specify the simple name of the certificate you want to use for publishing. And you can also add a certain configuration aspects. For example, if you want to enable editing on the form, you can use editing enabled. Note that this command works at the local machine. So you start up your PowerShell session, you import the module, and you're working on that machine. It's not like you're operating against the farm. You're, everything you do is from the perspective of that machine. Also, I don't know about you, but many commands now have parameters where you can specify on which computer you want to operate that command against, and that's not available yet, so that's some room for improvement. New Office Web Machine, New Office Web Apps Machine. So that is from the perspective of the current OOS server, and if you want to join that machine to an existing farm, you need to specify the machine which is running that farm. It's also a bit weird, in my opinion. And then you specify the machine name, and it will create and configure the farm using information on the machine you specified to configure the local OOS server. Because it works against the local machine, more or less like Exchange 2007, you don't need to specify the farm if you want to adjust parameters. For example, if you want to change the external URL, you can use set off as web apps farm, external URL, that's it. If you want to remove a server from a farm, you use remove office web apps machine. And if that's the last machine in the farm, that will also remove the farm itself. Restricting farm. You have some options on limiting systems which can become part of your farm. You can use set up office web apps farm OU, and after you do that, only machines which are also in that OU can join that farm. The allow office web apps host with domain allows you to limit the FQDNs of machines which can connect to your system. So normally that would be your internal URL, internal domain namespace. And by default, all roles are available and in on the OOS server, but if you must, and if you have specific workloads, you can limit this to, for example, only have backend servers for Excel running Exchange workloads or Word workloads. So you can play around with that a bit. There's a whole lot you can configure, especially in the region of Excel. If you're interested in that, this is a short URL to that TechNet site with that information. Now we have configured and installed and configured the OOS server. We need to do something on Exchange because Exchange is not aware of OOS. There's no information stored in Active Directory. So it can look that up. So we need to tell Exchange that there's an OOS server. And for that, which is a bit of history driven, we use WAC discovery endpoint. As said in one of the earlier slides, you can set it on the organization level with set organization config or on the mailbox server level, because with Exchange 2016, we only have multi-role servers. And we use set mailbox server for that. and with also with WAC discovery endpoint. After that, we restart the Exchange OAuth pool, and we're good. The WAC discovery endpoint, we can browse to that with a browser. And this is only a small piece of that, and it's condensed, so not everything is shown, but it contains all the information on your OOSE farm, which is behind that URL, and what the capabilities are and the settings of the Excel and the Word and the editing capabilities that are contained in this page. Now, I saw only one hand when I asked who did something in the past with WAC, because there's something tricky if you have already installed WAC and you want to do something in OOSE, which by the way is still not supported in production. Exchange 2016 doesn't support WAC servers, and the other way around. Exchange 2013 or earlier doesn't support OOSE because with Exchange 2013 or lower, you could only configure it at the organization level. What you then need to do is use the ability to configure it at the server level because your mailbox is on the server. And from there, Exchange knows where to connect to and you can point it to the OOSE server and not the WAC server. And if you put those machines behind load balancers, you have it covered and no dependencies on single server, WAC or OOSE servers. On Exchange, you can also configure a little bit of the WAC and how it behaves. Like in the screenshot, you had the option to download or view the document, but you can make it so that when you click it, it's always directly viewed in OOSE, because then in OOSE you have the capability to download the document. And that way you can steer the behavior a bit for end users. It works on public and private computers, which is a user decision. You can force it and make it available by default, or you can disable it if you don't want to have it or limit it to only certain users by using the set OAuth mailbox policy for those users. Now I had a 1.5 hour demo, but no. What shall I do? Questions? The question is if there are any plans to integrate with, Office Online. Yeah. You can, if you have a hybrid Exchange deployment on site for 2016, you can use SharePoint Online to integrate with SharePoint Online. For Link, it's used, you can integrate with Link 2013, I believe, I don't know. But then it's used for if you have a presentation attached to your session, it is used to render the presentation. So. You cannot use the OOSE in Office 365, that's the question, I think, to render your local documents. Yeah. No, because there's no, yeah, in hybrid situation, yes, but in a standalone situation, no, because there's no integration. As you saw before, the URLs, they don't have knowledge on about your local system in Office 365, so the token you present there and the document is also not available in Office 365, of course. So, other questions?
Yeah, you were talking about the sizing, and there you can handle up to 10,000 concurrent sessions. Then I'm thinking like we need to have a pretty large, like if you look at the exchange environment, there's only going to be like a subset of all my users.
Yeah.
So in most cases, you only need like 2 maybe for high availability.
Yeah.
So you're never going to have, so I'm just thinking like a large environment.
It of course depends on your population of Outlook on the web users. SharePoint can also use OAuth service to offer viewing and editing of documents on SharePoint. So yeah. I'm afraid I'm through my content now. Not through my content, but my presentable contents. I could have talked a bit slower, but... You mean the question is if I tried updating the OAuth server from technical preview to GA or something? Or?
My question was,
there's no stupid question, Dave.
With the WAX server,
yeah. I don't know. You mean if reconfiguring the farm or?
Just if you have to update the version of it. The WAX server, you have to get a farm.
You mean upgrading your WAX server to OAuth or?
If you have an old WAX server and you run Windows Update, it destroy your WAX server.
I have not encountered that yet, but. You experienced that, Dave, or? Yeah, I didn't have that problem yet with OAuth, but...
Well, exactly, that's why I said it was a stupid question, because we only have
no, because the recommendation is also to have a fully patched Windows 2012 R2 server before you start installing. So that throws away your argument of patching, but there will be patches, and I'm not going to say they will never destroy anything, but it's not, I haven't experienced it or.
With WAG, you destroy the farm. So you have to remove the farm again.
Yeah. Okay. For listeners at home, somebody experienced problems when updating Windows Update a WAG farm and then it destroyed the configuration. But OAuth is really, but there's also more or less static content because it's IIS, it creates two websites in IIS and the settings of the web form are in files there. So you can take that away and reuse it after recreating the form. So that should be okay. Anybody else? I have time, so.
What kind of version Office it renders? Is 2016?
It's 2016, yeah. I did have. I had a. I will now show you this slide because my demo doesn't work, and I was going to show this in the demo. The configuration of the web farm is contained in these files. For some reason, OOS stores everything in program data. I don't know many applications which you do that, but I'm an Exchange guy, so. The few files with the settings of the web farm, which farm it belongs to, the allow list, which I showed earlier, the domain which is allowed to connect to your OOS farm, and topology information, and it logs a whole lot of information in log files, of course, which are stored there, and it contains which document is viewed and edited by who. You can configure your farm that information stored in the log files is limited, so then it removes all privacy related, no, privacy tampering information. So if you're interested in the log files, peruse the OOS, look there. Now, if there are no other questions, I'm afraid I'm going to have to call it a bit early. That's okay.